bodies of more civilians discovered in the Ukrainian city of Bucha as Russia is again accused of committing more crimes. The Okta Research Group warns daily COVID cases in Metro Manila could hit 500 by the end of June. Later on in the program, we'll speak with former Presidential Anti-Corruption Commission head Greco Belica to discuss the Duterte administration's performance in fighting corruption. And in sports, the Golden State Warriors are on the cusp of another NBA title. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Our top story at this hour, Russia again accused of war crimes over its repeated use of banned weapons and attacks in Ukraine's second largest city. Amnesty International says it has uncovered proof of the use of cluster bombs and scatterable landmines in Kharkiv, all of which are banned under international conventions. Kharkiv had been under near-constant bombardment in the beginning of Moscow's invasion until the Russians were forced away from the city in May. Meanwhile, Ukrainian police say another 7 bodies, several with their hands and legs tied, had been found in a grave near Bucha. The Kyiv suburb has become synonymous with allegations of Russian war crimes after the bodies of dozens of civilians were found lying in streets, in basements, or buried in mass graves. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the battle for Severodonetsk is also taking a terrifying human toll. Russian forces have advanced on the strategic eastern city as part of their large-scale offensive in the Donbas region. Ukraine's defense ministry last week said up to 100 of their troops were dying daily in the intense fighting. Meanwhile, the agriculture ministry says Ukraine has lost a quarter of its farmland since Russia's invasion. But it notes food remains more than sufficient as national consumption levels had fallen due to mass displacement. Beijing rolls out mass testing for millions of its residents as it races to contain a COVID outbreak traced to a bar. Chaoyang District kicked off a 3-day mass testing campaign for its roughly 3.5 million residents. About 10,000 close contacts of the bar's patrons were also ordered to stay home. The bar had just reopened last week as the Chinese capital eased some COVID restrictions. Some planned school reopenings in the districts have also been postponed. The Philippine Health Department reported 386 new COVID cases on Monday. That's the highest daily tally in over 2 months. The Health Department warned Metro Manila may be placed under a higher COVID alert level if hospital admissions also rise. With the increase in new COVID cases, health experts say the last thing they would recommend is the removal of face masks. This after the provincial government of Cebu recently dropped the mask mandate in outdoor settings.
The best way that we can prevent transmission of the disease is by wearing the face mask. We need also to ramp up the vaccination campaign, particularly for those who are, who have not actually gotten their booster shots. As long as we don't see an increase in the hospital bed utilization, then I think we will be all right.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says Pfizer's COVID vaccine is safe and effective in children under 5. That's ahead of a meeting to weigh the jab's authorization for young kids later this week. The FDA said of the total COVID deaths in the U.S., 481 are children under 5. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tests positive for COVID-19 for the second time in less than 5 months. He says he feels fine but is currently isolating. Trudeau also took the opportunity to promote vaccination, crediting his lack of severe symptoms to being fully vaccinated and receiving a booster dose. Meanwhile, legendary British rock band Rolling Stones is forced to postpone its gig in Amsterdam after frontman Mick Jagger also tested positive for COVID-19. The 78-year-old singer, who is completely vaccinated, apologized to Dutch fans for the last-minute cancellation. In other news, Philippine agrarian authorities vowed to review a land dispute which led to last week's arrest of dozens of farmers and land reform advocates in Tarlac. DARS Secretary Bernie Cruz says an immediate and impartial investigation on the matter will be conducted. For the meantime, he called on the more than 200 co-owners of the Collective Certificates of Land Ownership Award to wait for the validated report that will show the official list of qualified beneficiaries of the disputed property Hacienda Tinang. The farmers are planning to file countersuits against police due to alleged violations during their arrest, but the Tarlac police deny any wrongdoing.
That is the claim of their lawyers, no? But on the part of the PNP, very clear po, there is malicious mischief. May mga sinira pong tanim itong ating mga kinasuhan na tao.
Senator Kiko Pangilinan busy transitioning to a private life after losing in the vice presidential race, but he says he will continue to advocate for farmers and fisher folk.
You know, we went around the country campaigning for food security and support for our farmers and our fisher folk. And regardless of the election results, food security is still critical. People will still need to eat, all the more now. Mataas ang patuloy na tumataas ang presyo ng bilihin, pataas ang presyo ng krudo, ng gasolina. Napakasakit para sa ating mga farmers. Kaya tuloy pa rin ang ating advokasya.
Pangilinan also urging the next administration to be tougher against agricultural smugglers.
The DA should be, and the BOC, the customs, you know, and the DOF should be front and center in ensuring that there are no sacred cows in terms of bringing in all these imports. Pag walang sacred cows yan, habulin, bantayan yung pagpasok nitong mga smuggled na mga produkto. And you know, the impact on the agriculture sector of smuggled, unchecked products has led to the ASF, the African swine fever. Dahil imported na karne yan na hindi na-check, na kailangan talagang sampahan ng kaso, i-raid itong mga, under the Price Act, the DTI and the DA are empowered.
Yeah.
You know, to go after hoarders, profiteers, and smugglers, obviously. So it's really enforcement.
Over in Sorsogon, residents who evacuated due to Mount Bulusan's latest eruption have returned to their homes. Our correspondent Jose Carretero joins us now with an update. Jose, what more can you tell us?
Carmina, families from Barangay Punitsapa, Cuban, Sorsogon, who were evacuated due to Bulusan volcanoes and rest, returned home today. The families were sent back to their homes with the help of the Philippine National Police, the Philippine Coast Guard, Armed Forces of the Philippines, and Uban Municipal Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Office. Uban MDRMO spokesperson Ariana Aguayo said these families are now safe from the effect of ash fall. There are about 148 families preempted the volcano a week ago. That is why MDRMO says it's safe for the residents to return home. But Aguayo says there are two individuals left in the evacuation center as per recommendation of the Municipal Health Office. Health-related concerns are the main reason, according to Aguayo. Alert Level 1 maintains over Bulusan Volcano. For the past 24 hours, CVOLCS recorded 69 volcanic earthquakes and 56 volcanic tremors. The sulfur dioxide emission was measured at 4,627 tons per day. CVOLCS Director Renato Solidum said high sulfur emission is expected because it is just 2 days after its eruption. CVOLCS earlier said his Bulusan volcano is still on alert level 1. Phreatic eruption is still possible in the coming days. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Jose Carretero. Back here in the newsroom, the Octo Research Group warns daily average COVID cases in Metro Manila could hit 400 to 500 by the end of June. Octo fellow Guido David notes the COVID positivity rate and hospital admissions have been increasing in the region for the past few days, but he says the current COVID situation in Metro Manila does not warrant a higher alert level just yet. Because of the rising cases, David supports calls to delay the return of employees to on-site work. He also urges the public to get a booster shot to maintain the wall of immunity.
The past week, 53% ng tinaas, from mga 10% to 53%. So yung 7-day average ng bilan ng kaso tumaas from 86 to 131 cases per day. Tapos yung reproductive number sa NCR ay nasa 1.59 na. Yung positivity rate tumataas din, nasa 2.7% yung positivity rate sa testing. At yung healthcare utilization ay bahagyan tumataas din. Pero sa ngayon, nakikita natin na patuloy yung pagtaas ng bilan ng kaso at medyo bumibilis pa siya sa Metro Manila. This is a possibility na magtaas ng alert level. At the minimum, baka kailanganin ng government na bawasan yung capacities sa public transportation or sa indoor establishments para lang at least lumuwag na konti at hindi masyadong siksikan yung mga tao sa mga establishments. So ito yung may tutulong ng, ano, ng pagtaas ng alert level.
We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, dozens of Immigration Bureau personnel ordered dismissed over their so-called or their links to the so-called Pastillas scam. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Bodies of more civilians discovered in the Ukrainian city of Bucha as Russia is again accused of committing war crimes. The Okta Research Group warns daily COVID cases in Metro Manila could hit 500 by the end of June. And in sports, the Golden State Warriors are on the cusp of another NBA title. Back with more news, the Philippine Foreign Affairs Department not shutting down the incoming Marcos administration's possible move to buy oil from Russia despite sanctions imposed against Moscow. DFA Assistant Secretary Eduardo Menez says it's up to the Marcos administration to decide how it will implement an independent foreign policy amid possible pressure from the West. But Menez believes the Energy Department should also be consulted on the matter, noting there may be other energy sources that could be tapped. Philippine jeepney drivers criticize the non-implementation of a tax provision that could lower local fuel prices. Members of the Manibela Jeepney Transport Group say the provision calls for the suspension of the fuel excise tax once world oil prices breach the $80 per barrel mark. The provision is part of the Tax Reform for Acceleration and Inclusion, or TRAIN, law. The Dubai crude benchmark used by the Philippines is currently at around $116 per barrel.
Presyo po ng krudo ngayon sa pandaigdigang merkado, naglalaro na po sa $120 to $128 per barrel. Matagal na po dapat sinuspindi ito. Simula ang eleksyon at natapos ang eleksyon, hindi na po kami nakakaramdam na may gobyerno pa. Hinya-kanya na lamang po tayong pagsisikap kapag ang batas po pabor sa gobyerno, napakabilis. Pag ang batas o mga polisiya para sa taong bayan, napakabagal po at ang hirap pong makamtan.
Members of Manibela also deplored the recently approved fare hike of just 1 peso, even as domestic fuel prices have nearly doubled since February. Just today, kerosene prices went up by 4 pesos and 85 centavos per liter. Diesel now costs 4 pesos and 30 centavos more per liter, while gasoline increased by 2.15 per liter. Wage hike petitions from all regions in the Philippines have now been approved by the government, but think tank says the increase in the minimum wage is still not enough as it fails to provide workers with a living wage. Just last month, inflation in the country rose to 5.4%, mainly driven by food and transport prices.
Lumalabas na ang isang pamilya sa NCR na may limang miyembro ay mangangailangan ng 1,093 pesos a day para masabing ito ay nakabubuhay na sahod. Kaya yung 570, kung i-apply na natin yung bagong wage increase, ay mga 52% lang ang kaya niyang sagutin.
As for the National Wages and Productivity Commission, it says it already considered the impact of the pandemic and recent calamities in the wage hikes.
Yung living wage is an aspiration wage. In fact, that's part of the the Philippine Development Plan on how we can raise the standard of living of our families. Ang sagot doon ay hindi lang itaas mo yung minimum wage mo. It's really a combination of economic and labor market policies. So it's a work in progress at this time.
The Philippine government is borrowing $350 million from the Chinese government for the Samal Island Davao City Connector Bridge project. Finance Secretary Carlos Dominguez and Chinese Ambassador to the Philippines Wang Qilian exchanged the framework agreement on the provision of loans Monday. The bridge will connect the Samal Circumferential Road in Barangay Limau to Davao City. It will have a total length of 3.98 kilometers. The project is expected to break ground this July, while construction is expected to last some 60 months. Manila's incoming Public Works Chief says public-private partnerships will continue to play a role, if not bigger, in the Marcos administration's infrastructure program. Manny Bunoan says he saw how important PPPs were after having served as president of the San Miguel Corporation Tollways. Bunoan, also on a mission to clean up the name of the DPWH, which has earned a reputation for being laden with corruption.
Gusto kong i-consolidate lahat ng mga kooperasyon at ating mga tao sa DPWH para mawala yung perception na yan at makapagbigay kami ng hustong, yung inaasahan na trabaho at para maisulong natin yung infrastructure development program. Lalo na po ngayon sa panahon na ito na kailangan po natin na tulungan yung pag-unlad ng ating economy. Hindi lang po yung mga tao namin ang dapat i-professionalize, no? Pati yung construction industry po ay magtulong-tulong po kami. Pati doon sa mga contractors, kailangan din po maging professional din sila. At para yung kung quality naman ng infrastructure may bibigyan namin, kagaya po yung ginagawa sa private sector, no? Na talagang puspusan na maganda.
The Office of the Ombudsman on Monday ordered the dismissal of 45 Immigration Bureau personnel implicated in the Pastillas bribery scheme. Under that scheme, foreign nationals were allegedly given easy entry into the country in exchange for money. The scam supposedly ran from 2017 to 2020. The Ombudsman's decision came days after the Justice Department also ordered the dismissal of 18 Immigration Bureau personnel over the same issue. Graft charges were likewise filed against the officers and staff last week. The alleged mastermind, former Deputy Commissioner Mark Amarinas, was among those charged with graft, but he was not among those ordered dismissed.
Na-dismiss po ng ombudsman yung administrative charge against Mr. Mark Marinas for lack of jurisdiction nga po. Dahil nga po, nag-resign na po siya o natanggal na po siya sa serbisyo earlier.
With a little over 2 weeks left before his term ends, did President Rodrigo Duterte fulfill his promise of ending corruption in government? To give his assessment, we're now joined by the former head of the Presidential Anti-Corruption Commission, Greco Bellica. Greco, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carmina, and thank you to everyone who watched.
All right, so we're just counting days before the term of President Duterte ends. Corruption, of course, the battle against it was one of the pillars of his campaign as then-candidate Duterte. What to you, what does the commission have to show at the end of his administration, Greco?
The commission, the office that I had, did accomplish the most number of cases filed, the most number of government employees, corrupt government employees fired, the most number of government, corrupt government employees jailed, and the most number of corruption reports acted upon. 154 cases po, I think 172 na ngayon, ang naisampa po ng PACC against high-ranking government officials. 800 government officials po because of corruption na napatanggal namin ng Pangulong Duterte. 24 po ang aming nakasuhan at 13,000 reports po on corruption ang aming naaksyonan. And because of this, corruption in government went severely or drastically down. Hindi po namin na zero yan dahil ang corruption, you know, in any government will never be zeroed because corruption really begins and ends with people. And as long as there are people, there will be corruption. What government can do is to put up a strong fight, to make people accountable, to put them to jail, and put structures and institutions, institutionalized reforms and offices that will continue to fight corruption. The next administration, what should learn from the experiences of this administration so that they can improve on the laws, the policies, and put in really courageous people who will be willing to fight corruption and have an administration similar to President Duterte that really fought corruption and led the fight against corruption. Kasi po, ang pinakamahirap dito, ma'am, at mga kabayan, ang atin pong mga kalaban, ang nakalaban po namin dito at ang patuloy na makakalaban ng kahit na anong administrasyon sa korupsyon ay mga kasamahan din po nila. The closest people with you will be your biggest enemies. Those people that are not close to you will all listen to you when you say, I stop corruption, I'll fire you, I'll file cases against you, I'll bring to jail. But the closest people to you will be the one who will take courage to look into corruption. And that's just the nature of it. So that's just the fight that we faced. And because of that, ang resulta po nun, ang customs, ang BIR, ang DPWH, ang Bureau of Immigration, bagamat marami pong corruption dyan at marami tayong nahuli at napatanggal at nakasuhan dyan at napakulong, bumaba po ang level ng kalang corruption and they were consistently hitting the revenue targets monthly for the past 2 years. Record-breaking po nga, nasabi pa nila dyan na kalang mga revenue collection. Ibig sabihin, bumaba talaga ang insidente ng corruption, bagamat hindi po na zero.
But Greco, I'm sorry to cut you there. What do you say to those who think that you only acted upon complaints and put those people behind bars, but these people actually are low-ranking government officials, meaning to say, yung talagang mastermind at punot dulo nitong corruption, yung systemic corruption in an agency, for example, yun ang nakakawala. At itong mga mas maliliit na mga tao, yun lamang ang napupuntirya ng administrasyon, Greco?
Hindi po yon tama, ma'am. That is a problem with our justice system. Napakahirap po talaga mag-prosecute at magpakulong ng tao dito, ng kriminal, drugista, corrupt, dito sa Pilipinas. It takes years before a case is resolved. Example po, yung kaso na hinuli ko ng mga BIR officials at pinakulong at napatanggal po, tatlo po yun ng mga official, 4 years ago when I was commissioner. Can you imagine, last week lang po, ako nakaupo as a witness to that entrapment operation and investigation that I spearheaded. Hindi na po ako commissioner, hindi na po ako chairman, private citizen na lang po ako, pero umuupo pa ho ako ron dahil hindi pa tapos ang kaso. And that is the first na naipakulong ko po yung tatlong yon. 24 po yan na ginawa namin. E nagawa namin through entrapment. The rest po, the 154 cases that we filed, 172 na po pala ngayon, I was updated, nakabinbin pa po sa mga korte at sa ombudsman dahil po kulang na kulang po talaga ang ating mga prosecutors, justice, investigators. And to strengthen the justice system, that is one of the major things that we have to do. We have to put more money sa justice sector so that government can hire more judges, prosecutors, investigators. And secondly, we really have to work on the rules of court para ho mas maging mabilis at aktibo ang proseso ng prosecution at investigation. That will drastically strengthen the fight against corruption. During my time, I did not have those powers po kasi po legislative na po yan. I've been hearing President-elect Bongbong Marcos also wants to continue the fight against corruption and drugs. And these are key elements that he has to do and to strengthen the fight against corruption. And he has to be at the forefront of campaign, similar to the president. Dahil pagka yung hindi ho siya nanguna rito, and then magkakaroon ng perception na mayroong mga mas malalakas na nakakasulot ng mga kaso, mahihina po ang anti-corruption campaign.
Let's get into that. Sorry to cut you there. We're going to talk more about that later. But let's get into that. I want to talk about your experience, sort of to give the next administration a glimpse into what they can expect, right, in the fight against corruption. Was there ever a point in all those hundreds of cases that you mentioned, Greco, that ayun na, naimbestigahan na, napakulong na, meron ng at least na-detain, meron ng kaso, umuusad na, pero sumusubok pa rin makalusot at gumagamit pa rin ng koneksyon para makalusot?
Oo, ma'am Carmina, yan po talaga ang trabaho ng mga lukulukong yan. Talaga pong hahanap ng koneksyon, magsipapangako sa iyong langit at lupa, tatakutin ka, lahat po sama-sama na po yan. At kakaibiganin ka rin both at the same time. So that is just a constant problem. They will file cases against you. That will just be a constant problem na haharapin po natin. And then in my experience and in our time with the president, President Duterte, we were strong because he was 100% behind us. He was leading the fight against corruption. The one thing that was against us during my term was that we had a gag order and it's part of the law nung aming executive order. We could not talk about the cases that we were investigating, we plan to investigate. Meron nasa executive order namin po yun, unlike yung kapangyarihan ng Senado at Kongreso that they can hold public hearings. Kasi yung...
But do you think, Greco, that that was also part of the problem why people seem to think that even with the creation of the PACC that nothing was being done, because really nothing was being heard about all these cases that you have filed?
Tama po yan. That was the greatest impediment of our office. Talagang ang communication, ang media should really be part of the anti-corruption campaign dahil yung information at reports na nalalaman ng tao is already deterrent. However, kasi sa batas natin, yung sub judice, yung para hindi mapublic trial ang tao, nasa batas po yan and it has to be changed. Unlike in Congress, gusto pa lang nilang imbestigahan, hindi pa nila iniimbestigahan, ina-announce na po nila. Yan po ang kapangyarihan na dapat natin ibigay sa executive branch, sa mga opisina katulad ng PACC, Ombudsman, dahil malaki pong tulong yan.
But conversely, one could argue that because that is the law, you were able to do your job silently without any external pressure. Kasi nabanggit yun na rin, yung trial by publicity, that can cause a lot of undue pressure on the people involved. But because there is a gag order, wouldn't you say that also helped you in a way?
Yes, pero yung information po kasi is very important eh. You see, when people knows what happening, when people knows what happening, it really stops a lot of things. Mas marami pong nagagawa kasi, you know, communication wins is already 50% of the war won. You know, it works both ways. You know, may pros and cons. Pero I would rather face the challenges na isasabihin nila, pupolitikahin, yung mga ganon, rather than the other way around. That is an easier battle for us to do because communications and deterrent when you're doing something right.
Numerous times you've said in the course of this interview that a large part of the success of the PACC is what you claim the support of President Duterte and that he really embraced this whole anti-corruption drive. It has been said that a political victory or with a political victory comes absolution. We know that what we're seeing right now is a remarkable rise back to power by the Marcos family. But along with this comes a past that is riddled with cases of corruption. And because you mentioned about, you know, how President Duterte was very influential in this fight against corruption, what are your expectations from the incoming administration, considering the past that it holds, that it has, regarding cases of corruption, Greco?
You know, politika na po yan, ma'am. And things change when people see things differently. The next administration, I've been hearing, has promised to continue the fight against corruption. And of course, they need all the help that they can give. Now, yung tiwala po ng tao, makukuha po yan kung makikita na totoo ang ginagawa. So, of course, the enemies, the political enemies will always try to bring back the past. But people will always, will always be, you know, what's in the future and what's present is always more important to people. And if they feel na, ay, mas bumilis talaga ang sistema ngayon, mas napaparusahan ang mga kriminal at ang mga corrupt ngayon, those things will be overcome. And that is a challenge for every administration. I mean, every administration has a challenge. Si President Duterte's administration had his own challenges. You know, people were calling him names. You know, masyado matapang. You know, and all sorts. I filed cases against him. And I guess this administration, naman, will have the his political opponents keep bringing the past back to the present. But it is their accomplishments that will defeat all these intrigues.
When you talk about political opponents, are you just really just disregarding that as something that is coming from political opponents and not really matters of fact?
Kasi po yung matters of fact, yung political po kasi is something that you talk about in the media, talk about the people. Opinions, yan, pinupolitika to destroy an administration. That's what I refer to.
Mm-hmm.
Sympathizers, political opponents. Now, the facts can be dealt with by law and in court. Ang problema, kahit anong ilabas sa korte, napaka nadumaan sa proseso, napaka dali po itong kumintuhan at bigyan ng panibagong istorya. So, that is something thing that every administration has to work on. But I guess, you know, ma'am, kung it's always going to be the past na ibabato nila sa administration ngayon, darating ang panahon, it will be very quick na people will be fed up with those news and then would rather listen and look at the truth of what's happening today.
So, yeah, but when you talk about the cases of corruption, that is not an opinion, that is a fact. The cases of corruption involving the Marcos family. The question really was, how do you think they'll be able to overcome this, the past that they carry, and present to the people that perception that they are serious about their anti-corruption drive, even if their history, their personal history, is also riddled with cases of corruption. Greco?
You know, ma'am, Carmina, President-elect Bongbong Marcos, you know, got so many votes. And I think those people who voted him already believes a story more than the story that is presented by their opponents. Now, winning the other side, you know, will take work. You know, their questions has to be answered, their cases has to be acted upon. That's just part of a government. It's going to be a struggle of communications. It's going to be a struggle of, again, the justice system. You know, as long as the truth comes out, people will be happy with it.
And if they're really serious in fighting corruption, Greco, I mean, you've seen it firsthand, the ugliness of corruption. What is that one thing that they will do from day one that will show you, as former head of the PACC, that they mean business?
Strengthen the justice system, put funds in the justice sector, and strengthen the offices like the Office of the Ombudsman, the courts, the PACC. If they start to do that, you know, and I believe na they are really serious about it. And of course, if President-elect Bongbong Marcos will really be at the front line of this, then it will be a very strong campaign against corruption.
And finally, we got to talk about the obvious here. Your brother, Jeremiah, has been suspended over allegations of graft and corruption. How do you explain to the public this irony? That as I talk to you now, as you stand against corruption, your brother is being accused of it.
Okay. First of all, you have to realize that when you fight corruption, corruption fights back. You know, and ito po, ako po, I have three cases filed against for fighting corruption. Because the people that you come against are evil people, and they will always, you know, try to get back at you. My brother did his job and he did it well. The cases with the Office of Ombudsman, he only implemented the law as mandated by him by law. He did not go into corruption, even the case. Even the case is not a corruption case. The issue is the automatic approval that was issued by his office, which is part of the mandate or the major mandate of his office, that benefited over 8,500 businessmen whose applications were pending before agencies until ARCA stepped in and applied the law and pushed the law. Their permit clearances were resolved. This particular case is nothing different. However, of course, pagka meron ho, ganyan ho talagang anti-corruption campaign and anti-red tape and anti-drugs campaign. Meron ka talagang masasagasaan at meron ka talagang makakalaban. And this is a classic issue of this. Yung kanila pong natulungan dahil pinatupad nila ang batas, nagagalit naman po yung mga naapektuhan. Ang questions of frequency should be asked to the NTCs, not ARCA.
But the fact that the palace implemented the suspension order, what does that tell you?
Well, that's the job of the palace. You know, that shows na una, preventive suspension is not a penalty. It is just saying na to avoid documents being tampered, that he that is being investigated should be taken out of office so that he will not have influence over the documents. It is not a penalty. So yun lang po yun. And it is the palace's job to implement the orders of the court. And in this case, it's the ombudsman. So ito pong kasong ito ay mapag-uusapan ng maayos at malinaw po sa ombudsman at doon po makikita ang batas at ang mga ginawa nila. Lastly, gusto ko pong ipagbigay linaw na wala pong issue na ang kapatid ko or kami ay nagnakaw at nag-abuso ng posisyon. Ang issue lang po dito ay kini-question na yung automatic approval daw po ay or yung frequency daw po ay hindi dapat inisyo ng ARCA. Wala akong inisyong ARTA, frequency ang ARTA. Ang nag-i-issue po ng frequency at hindi nag-i-issue ng frequency, NTC. Ang problema ng NTC, pinuputukan po ang ARTA dahil ang ARTA, pinatautupad naman po ang kanyang trabaho. So para lang pagbigyan linaw po ang mga ating kababayan na ang kapatid ko ay inisuhan ng korupsyon, intriga po yun. At masasagot po yan sa korte. Wala ho kami, hindi ko kami nagpayaman, hindi kami nag-abuso sa aming pwesto. Kung meron kami nasaktan, ito po ay mga corrupt at mga salbahing tao sa gobyerno na aming natapakan nung aming ipinatutupad ang aming pong trabaho.
And we're going to have to leave it at that. Greco Bellica there, former chairman of the Presidential Anti-Corruption Commission. We appreciate you joining us here, talking to us today. Thanks and you keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina, and God bless the Philippines.
God bless you too. We're going to take a break from there. Still ahead, the Celtics and the Warriors square off for a fifth time in the NBA Finals. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC.